We are in the fifth reading today. We're going to go to chapter 24, verse 53. This is kind of a continuation of what we learned yesterday. It's the same parsha, so it's going to be a continuation. So let me recap the verses that we missed. Eliezer makes his pitch, and he's successful. They said, oh, this comes from God. This is unbelievable. We have absolutely no right to meddle or get in the way. Eliezer hears these words, and he bows and prostrates before Hashem. He's really happy. Verse 53. Vayoytze ha'eved klei chesef u'chalei zov. Now, after they've agreed, the servant suddenly takes out artifacts of silver and artifacts of gold. Ubegadim, fancy clothing. Vayitin l'rivka, and he gives this to Rivka. Umigdonois, and the delicacies, or delightful things, nasan l'achiha u'le'ima. He gives to her brother and to her father. Now there are numerous questions here, but Rashi, in his quest to give us the straightforward, simple meaning, is not going to ask why. Rashi often does, doesn't ask why. Why did he give? Figure it out yourself. He was excited. they agreed to go, so he gives the gifts. He prepared. He was ready for this. But what in heaven are McDonald's? What is it? This word, sukkasunt, this word has never shown up before. So Rashi says, O McDonald's, McDonald's is l'shein megodim. It comes from the terminology sweet things. In Israel, there's a company that makes candy. Migdanim. What does that mean, sweet things? What does it mean? So Rashi says, Hevi imo, he brought with him, Mine peirot shel Eretz Yisrael. He brought different fruits from Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a luscious land. Eretz Yisrael was a place that produced extraordinary fruit. We find that out much later on in the Torah, when the scouts go to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is producing amazing fruit. Maybe in Iraq, they didn't grow such nice fruit. So he gives them like a fruit basket. This is very, like, current. What do people give when they're going as a guest somewhere? Do you want to send a gift? Sometimes people send a cake. If you want to be a little more healthy, you send a fruit basket. So he had fruit baskets. He provided them with these nice offerings, a nice offering of fruit. There is an obvious question here that Rashi does not deal with. And perhaps it's because Rashi is forced to deal with it later, so he doesn't bother dealing with it now, as you will see. He gave gold and silver, or silver and gold to Rivka, that's kind of understood. This is the new kala. He gave her clothes, okay. But he gave the fruits to Achiha, to her brother, and to her for her mother. No, that's the obvious question.
Who's her father?
It was the father. How come he didn't get a gift? So the Radak says that they were the mainstay of the home. They called the shots in the house. This was not a gift out of goodwill. This was a gift out of necessity. He knew who was going to say the yes or no. So he gave the gifts. You bribe what you have to bribe. Mm-hmm. That's what Radak says. But that's a little hard to say. So the Radak says, well, he was older. Maybe he was in his head, was in the business. He wasn't so much in the house. But Radak says, according to the Drush, which you'll see, Rashi uses this Drush later as Pshuto Shal Mikra, Besuel was less than a savory fellow. And he decided, I don't like this. Too Jewish. I'm not letting them pull the trigger. This is not going to happen. So it's not going to happen. So the angel that came with Eliezer, the angel that Avraham Avinu said came before him, and Eliezer said came with him, decided to eliminate Besuel.
Was that right?
Yeah.
Who was Malach HaMavos here with him?
Doesn't have a Malach HaMavos. He doesn't have to be a Malach HaMavos to do what he's got to do. He eliminated him.
Just switch the place.
There is an opinion, which Rashi alludes to also, the Medrash says, that they decided to poison Eliezer, take the food. How is Avram ever going to hear? He died. The man died. He came. He died. Finished. So they poisoned his food. He sat down to eat. They poisoned his food. And earlier he said, I won't eat. See what happens when you keep your shlichut? He said, no, I have a mission to do. I can't eat yet. In the meantime, The Malach simply switched the plates. So Besuel ate his own poison. He killed over and died. And Eliezer was just fine. The Chizkuni has a totally different approach. He says Besuel really didn't care. He follows like what I said. He said, whatever, you want to go, go. I'm just happy to get my daughter married off. She's got a good suitor. She's going to have a nice life. You know, the father was happy. At any rate, Rashi figures you can intuit this by yourself, why you would or would not have included the father in this. So Rashi doesn't say anything. Verse 52. Vayechlu, vayishtu. At this point, they eat and they drink, and perhaps because of the story of the poisoned food, that's why Rashi doesn't say what he says on verse 53. Because in verse 53, it's before they ate. So it's before they ate. How is Besuel dead? Besuel only dies because he eats his own poison. But they don't eat till verse 54. And in verse 53, Besuel already is not getting a gift. So therefore, Rashi doesn't follow Radak, and Rashi doesn't mention anything. Maybe he follows the Chizkuni. He was happy. He didn't need to be convinced. So they ate and drank. Vahanoshim asharimai. There were people with Eliezer. Vayolino, they spent the night. Vayikumu vabayker. Everything's great, right? We got a deal. We got an agreement. We had a nice meal. Slept. Let's go. He wakes up in the morning. Vayomer. Shalchuni ladarni. Okay. Off we go. Vayomer achi aveima. Her brother and her mother said, well, you know, maybe Teisha v'nare itanu yomim. Maybe she should stay for a few days. Or us, or maybe 10 days. I'm purposely mistranslating that, you see. That's how it reads, so it seems to read. Achar teilech. Do we have to do this so fast? She'll come. We'll do this, but let's put the brakes on here. Slowly. Now Rashi tells us that whenever you have the word lina, it doesn't mean that he spent a long time there. Vayolinu. They yolinud. What's a lina? Rashi says, kol lina shabemikra. Whenever you find the word lina, it means linas laila echad. One night. So it's one night. That's it. They ate. Maybe they drank. Maybe they had a party. Like a little l'chaim without a chasen, who doesn't even know about it yet. Whatever. They spent the night. So the next morning, her brother and her sister said, let's slow this down a little. Could we please not do this so fast? And now comes the question that Besuel is quiet. I understand you don't want to give Besuel gifts. But if he was ready, how could they override the father? So if you follow the Chizkuni's approach that Besuel was, I'm just happy to marry my daughter off, why didn't he say, stop it, she's going? How did they have an opinion? So here Rashi is compelled to say something. Rashi can no longer remain silent. And of course, according to the Medrash, here's where it makes sense, because it's after, it's the next day. And Rashi says, "Ubesuel heichan haya." Where's Besuel? He doesn't protest. He doesn't say anything. He says, "Haya reitzel la'akev." He was planning to stop this whole thing. Uba malach. Then he said, "The malach came and said, Chalas, you're done." Now yomim means days, but Rashi says it can't mean days. It has to mean shana. It has to mean a full year. Kimoi, for example, we have an expression that's found in the book of Leviticus when it comes to redeeming a field that was sold in perpetuity, that it says yomim tiya gulase, that a person who sells a residential property in a city which is designated as unique in Israel because it's mukafis chayma, it's surrounded by a wall. So what happens is you can undo the deal for the first year. First year you still have the opportunity for a family to regain its ancestral properties. After a year passes by, sealed. That's it. So over there also says yomim, and yomim means a year. And Rashi says, that's reasonable actually. Their request was not unreasonable. Shekach neisnin libsula zman yud beis chedesh. That's normal that they usually give when a young girl would get married, from the time of engagement till the time of getting married, it was usually 12 months. That takes time. Get a marriage wedding. So nothing wrong with that. Lefarnes es atzma betachshitin, so that she's able to provide for herself, have all the proper jewelry and all the accoutrements and all the other things that are necessary to be able to go to a wedding. So it takes 12 months. It's normal. Ay aser, what's ay aser? Or asara chadoshim, or 10 months. V'im teimer yamim mamish, Rashi says, if you'll say the days means days is literal, Ein derech ha-mavakshim, when you're asking a negotiation. So you don't say, levakesh davar muat. First you say, ask for a little. Okay, let's do days. You don't want days? Let's do 10 months. That doesn't make any sense. What kind of negotiation tactic is that? Vim loy tirtza, you don't want a little, then give us a lot. The negotiation tactic is, let's do a year. A year is too long. 10 months. That makes sense. So Yomim has to follow the way Yomim appears elsewhere in biblical parlance, and therefore it has to be in a year. Now, this business of waiting, wanting to pull the trigger so quickly and run, according to the Rivash, Besuel didn't mind. He follows the idea that Besuel said, no problem, I don't care. But it was Lavan and his mother who wanted to stop it. It was as if Rivash said, it was as if Besuel said, listen, I don't care. Deal with them. I'm out of here. Like, do whatever you want. I can't deal with my wife. Oh, my son is a monster. If you can convince them, you have my buy-in. Now, that sounds very strange. Besuel doesn't seem to be a pushover. Where'd you get that from? So therefore, Rashi prefers the Medrash and Pshut Rishon Mikra that Besuel was not less than the mother and brother, but he was worse than the mother and brother. And that's why they got rid of him. Now, let's wait a little. So, as Rashi said, that's the way to go. And the Sepharno adds, it's not just even a psula. It's normal when you relocate somewhere, don't just move across the world. This was like a big move. In fact, Rivka never comes back to Iraq. She remains there itself for the rest of her life. It's a big move. As Micha Blula says, it takes time to go say goodbye to all the sites. You know, kind of wean yourself away from the land of your birth. Takes time. It's, but in other words, from all sides, what they asked for was not unreasonable at all. This is the normal manner that a besula, this is how a girl gets prepared to get married. You're moving to the other end of the world. This is normal. Everything they asked for was typical, normal, nothing unusual. But Eliezer says in verse 56, Vayoymer Aleim, he says to them, Al ta'achru, don't hold me back. Al ta'achru, I see. Vashem etzliach daki, don't you see this is from God? God made me successful. Ve'el chalad deni, let me go to my master. Al ta'achru, he's insistent. He says, don't stop me. I have to go. The Mamloya says, you have to go one day? What are you so uptight about? Mamloya says, the Malach lost his patience. Remember, Eliezer had a Malach with him. Only Eliezer saw and knew the Malach. The Malach said, I'm out of here. I got to go back to where Malachim hang out. We need to go now. That was the big rush. Radak says, look, I'm a shliach. A shliach's job is to discharge his message. I got sent on a mission. So I have to do this as quickly as possible. I got to get back. I got to get back to work. I can't take extra days of work off. But the truth is, Rashi doesn't have to say anything, because if you remember what we learned about yesterday, about the thorn, the thorn bush, and the rose, we know perfectly why Eliezer needs to run, because he's got to get Rivka out of there. This is a rescue mission. Rashi doesn't say anything. So what happens? By Yaimru, they say, Nikra Lunara. Let's call the girl. Let's call the girl. She doesn't have a choice. What is this, Sharia or something? Let's call the girl. Venishalas Pia, let's ask her what she wants. Rashi says, call the girl. Call the girl. Who ever heard of such a thing in the Middle East? Says Rashi, Mikan, it's from this precise verse that Jewish people know, a Masi and a Saisha Alamidai, there is no such thing in Judaism as a forced marriage. Never was, never will be. A girl is never forced to get married, chas v'shalom. That's totally alien to Jewish tenets and belief. People will say to you, oh, you have a problem with Sharia, your Bible was exactly the same. Well, actually not. And you're a big ignoramus, I tell them. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. Where's the first match, the first marriage ever discussed in the Torah? Yitzchak and Rivka. What happened? Nishala Espia. She made the decision in the end.
Yeah, really could say
nobody
also,
else.
Could say also she was 3.5 years old.
Listen, if people were dying at 175, people were mature at 3. This is not a question. This is, we're talking about antiquity. We're talking about 3,700 years ago, not 1,200 years ago. And 3,700 years ago, things were very different, as we could see. The effects of time were different. People matured very quickly, and people lived very long. Things were different. So let's ask the girl. Let's see what she says. And that's what Rashi says. There's no other way. No other way. Why did he have to ask her? Why didn't he ask her quietly? What's Nikrolo? Why call her over here? So Radak says, because Eliezer was afraid if they ask her privately, you know, Besuel comes, he's from Iraq. He says, you see what we want. I give you two black eyes. You hear, girl? So she'd be terrified. Eliezer says, no. Right in front of me. No mises, no shenanigans. We're going to talk to her and we'll see what she has to say. And the Paneach Razov says, they already were winking. They said, last the girl. So Besuel goes, wink, wink. And he's making signs with his mother. Eliezer says, this is no good. Bring her over here. Okay, we're not rigging this. So this is going to be, what does she say? Vayikro l'Rivka, dekol Rivka. Vayoyimro elel, they say, Haselchi mi'ish hazeh? You want to go with this guy? Oh yes, definitely. I'm out of here, guys. I know exactly what you're made of. I'm going. And so that's what happens. Now, this whole story really seems to be rife with contradiction. Number one, they had a deal yesterday. They had a lechayim, like you said. They had a celebration. They drank, they corked, uncorked the champagne. Everything is great. They slept one night, and all of a sudden the deal's off. Now, you say you have to ask the girl. Woman's choice. A woman has a choice. Yesterday, did she have a choice? No, yesterday she had no choice. Today, she all of a sudden has a choice. It's a contradiction over here. Deal or no deal? Woman has a choice or doesn't have a choice? And we're so proud of this verse. You see, a woman has a choice. And then yesterday she didn't. Only today she did. Boy, you got progressive in 24 hours. What happened there? So let's go to page Resh Pei Dalet. In the Simul Lamed Aleph here, the Rebbe tackles these questions. And he says, this is really a problem. Something here doesn't make sense. From Rashi comes out that Lavan and his mother, they put their foot down. They said, no deal. No, we're not doing this so fast. And from Rashi, seems that they didn't really want the Shidduch. And if you look in Radak and you look in Paneach Raza, they wanted it even less. They were trying to stop this altogether. Seller's remorse. It's only a few hours later. What happened? It's not like they had what to drink before they made the deal. First they made a deal, then they drank. The next morning is only a hangover. So, what's the issue? So before they agreed, and now they don't. And then there's this business of asking Rivka. And today they ask her, yesterday they didn't. So on page Resh Pei Hei, we'll do this little part inside. V'yesh levayar b'derech ha'pshat. Ah, the Rebbe shed such a light, such a sweet light on this. This makes the whole thing so clear. He said like this, it's very simple. Yes, in the beginning, they agreed to the Shidduch. Why? Do you remember what we learned yesterday? Ki divrei hem atzman. What did they say? What we learned yesterday in yesterday's class? They said, from the story of Eliezer, they became clearly in the know. It was obvious. This is from God. It's from God. Now, when you know something's from God, you just start up with God. It's from God. L'chein l'rol tzerech lishol da'as Rivka. If you ask Rivka, God said. If God said, it's got to be good. You can't start up with God and win. He's the boss. All right, that was yesterday. They have the l'chaim. They celebrate. Wonderful dinner. It's the next morning. Now they have to deal with the details. All of a sudden, okay, let's establish a time for the wedding. And they ask a normative request. Okay, we'll prepare our sister, daughter. It's like, let's do this. And remember, according to the way that Radak explains it, or the Mincha Blula, it was not only normal for a wedding, it was just normal. It's normal before relocating. You got to get a visa, you got stuff to do. Stuff to do. Hire the caterer. They don't have to worry about it. That Avram will take care of. But maybe go shopping.
Shaito.
There's stuff to do. Like our family has to do things.
$4,000.
So all of a sudden, Eliezer says, No. Now. Al Tachroisi. Don't know what we're going now. We have to go now. Remember, Eliezer's got a malach over there pulling him. He says, let's get out of here. I gotta go. And Eliezer's like, we have to go now. He says, I have to go now? This guy's nuts. This whole thing is crazy. They said, v'nigud l'minig ha'mekubal? He's going against what's considered to be regular, normal, everyday practice? This is like a kala doesn't have time to prepare herself. Just go. Lefarnas atzam betachshitin. Rashi follows the approach. It wasn't even a visa. It's nothing, pashut, like you said, to buy the sheitel, to do the things. No time for this? Garma lehem d'rishasish l'yez l'fakbek b'kach. They said, one second. This guy's a nut job. He's absolutely crazy. This is not a normal... He said God wanted this. Yesterday we thought, oh, God wanted it. God, okay, it's God, it's God. Who could we to stop him? Now they said, Eliezer's a crazy man. He said, okay, I don't know about this. Started getting seller's remorse. He said, this also comes from God. This can't come from God. Yesterday we didn't talk about this. Yesterday we talked about God. Now we're talking about you. And you're coming, starting up with the shenanigans. It's this craziness. You want to leave this moment. All of a sudden, they said, okay, I don't know. Maybe yesterday what he said is not true. We thought it was a man of integrity. We thought there's somebody we could handle with. And now all of a sudden we find that he's on a rescue mission. He's cutting the roads, going to leave us thorns to dry out. They realize something's up over here. So deal or no deal? Yesterday was a deal. Why was yesterday a deal? yesterday was a deal because Hashem Yatzah Dover. And they started saying, maybe it's not Hashem Yatzah Dover. We don't have a deal. If we don't have a deal, it's not Mehashem Yatzah Dover. Why didn't they ask you for yesterday? Of course you believe a woman's choice. You believe a woman's choice. It's a question of what God said or didn't say. Woman's choice doesn't mean, oh, you want to kill the baby? No problem. Woman's choice, kill the baby. Somebody murders, Lacey Peterson gets murdered with a baby. Her husband, Scott, is in jail and he's on the death row for a double murder. Why? He killed two people. Mm-hmm. He killed Lacey. He killed the unborn baby. I don't understand. If Lacey kills the baby, God bless her soul, Nebuch, a victim of murder. If she kills her baby, she's a liberal hero. Mm-hmm. Woman's choice. It's my body. If the husband killed the baby, he's a murderer. Maybe something's wrong with this picture. When it comes to what God says, no such thing as choice. Choice. It's my choice. I want to kill myself. All of a sudden, the firemen are there with the nets. Would you get out of here? This is my life, and I want to kill myself. Sorry, we got to protect you. Protect you from who? It's my choice. Yeah, your choice, as long as it's not getting in the way of what God said. If this is what we call morality, what God said. So yesterday when God said this, okay, they said it's clear God said, no choice. But now there's no, not God said. Oh, this is Eliezer said. Oh, Eliezer, that we have to ask her. She's going to be the arbiter over here. And like indeed, like the Pnei Chazal says in the Adak, he was afraid of them telling her who knows what and threatening her. He says, right in front of me, we're going to do this. And so that's why there's a question. It's Yach Solakach, Kamei Latzor L'Shudach Regila. In that case, if it's not a God said thing, it's a you said. Well, if it's a you said, then we have to follow normal practice. And what was normal practice? Nishalas Pia. And interestingly, you could see it wasn't only the Jewish way. Even over there, it was normal. No such thing as a force a woman to marriage. No such thing. And so, Rivka is indeed called because in Masina say, Isha Lomidaita, we do believe in woman's choice. As long as it's a normal situation where there's a question where choice is actually a question. And that, my dear friends, is the Torah take. So, deal or no deal? It depends where it's coming from. So does a woman get a choice? Most certainly. Just as any person has a choice. We all have the freedom to choose, but we don't have the freedom to choose when it's something which comes from a higher place of morality, when it's something which is Hashem Amar, that's a different story. Then we have to deal with a higher reality.